SRN's Jeremy House. If a grand jury does not indict the St. Louis area police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown, a prosecutor says he will immediately release transcripts and audio recordings of the grand jury's investigation. A spokesman says the prosecutor has ordered that the proceedings be transcribed and audio recorded, which is an unusual step for grand juries in Missouri. More details at SRNnews.com.
Are you an inventor? Or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. InventHelp has been helping inventors since 1984, with sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. Get free information of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-434-3192. That's 1-800-434-3192. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-434-3192. That's 1-800-434-3192. A fee-based company.
Hey, here we are, Tim Nixon's show back after the news, and we find ourselves in beautiful northern Michigan with the sun shining at 66 degrees and 94.5 WYPV, Patriot Voice Radio Network, and 10 Weeks to Love. Is it Tani Kars, T-A-N-I-I, is that Tani?
Yes, you got it exactly correctly, Tim, thanks.
Absolutely fabulous, and you are located in?
Southern California, where we are experiencing a considerable amount of heat.
Okay, like what would it be? Because I just talked to Las Vegas last hour, and they said it was 96 there.
Well, we've been experiencing 105, 107 temperatures in our vicinity, so everybody's sort of burning up their air conditioning units for sure.
Wow. That's not even fun.
No, it's not fun, and it's not funny, and I certainly do get concerned about the elderly and people that just don't have air conditioning in these extreme conditions, but, you know, you do what you can for yourself and loved ones and friends and neighbors, and that's what you can do.
Okay. So you have some different ideas, and I don't want to get into them yet because this is one of our shorter segments. So before we hear your ideas, let's find out who you are.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Of course, my main purpose is talking to you about my experience with Joan Rivers, a really amazing person, but I'll just fill you in very quickly. I've worked for the last 45 years in television, radio, production, programming, and I have I've been a public relations person. I've been a writer all that time, and I am now enjoying life as an author, public speaker, relationship coach, and having a great time in my early 70s. I have an amazing life, and my book, which is 10 Weeks to Love, is how I transformed myself from a very unhappy, twice-divorced individual at 45 to meeting the man of my dreams in a very short period of time. We've been married almost 28 years. He still thinks I'm eye candy, which truly is profound. I mean, you know, at this age, for somebody to consider that you're still beautiful and ravishing and sexy is wonderful. And I still think I'm the luckiest person in the world to have married this man.
Wow.
It's all about the internal game of love and what individuals can do no matter what their circumstances, no matter what their backgrounds and all that. And I just want to help people, and that's what this book and all the things that I do are about, really.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you to write this book?
Not very long. I did it in spurts. I had been talking to people about this subject for years because I know what I did to transform myself, which not everybody does. And I finally got the courage to write it all down. I think I stayed up for one full weekend just writing through the night for a lot of it, for two-thirds of it. Obviously, I edited and all that later, but and then the rest of it, I think, took me, again, about a 12 to 15-hour period of time. I like to write, and I'm a good writer. The book is a fun read. It's very light, though it's not necessarily about a light subject to most people, how to transform themselves. But it's filled with pictures and lots of exercises. You know, the chapter will be, this is what I did. Now, here's your opportunity to do what I did, if it's relevant to your life. And I'm enjoying some great, wonderful benefits from it, because when I help somebody, then we're both winning. It's a win for everybody concerned.
Okay. The falling in love is the part you're talking about, right?
Yes. It's
okay.
Finding somebody that you're happy to spend years with. I know a man that was married for over 50 years, was miserable most of that time. I don't consider the fact that there was longevity to be anything to write home about. This is about being excited about the person that is your life partner over the long haul, that you still have fun, that you still have a good time, you still share things, that person's your best friend, you support each other's individual and collective goals, and truly, I am living the life that I always hoped for but was never certain that I could live, and so I'm an example of what I'm preaching here.
I was going to say, do you know how many people... I think the amount of people that could say that is probably very, very few.
You know, actually, I will surprise you on this, that as I have been talking to people, as I've done radio interviews, TV interviews, etc., I'm finding a much larger number of people that actually have great, long-term, loving relationships. What happens is that we're surrounded with media representations to the contrary, especially if we look at the popular magazines and all that. So it's better than it appears.
Okay. Tani Carr is who we hear the smile right through the radio. 10 Weeks to Love is her book, and we're going to find out more about how maybe we could rearrange some things in our own situation to get out of our own worst way sometimes. It's the Tim Nixon Show at 94.5. We'll be right back.
BG Salon and Spa has grown to 3 locations. You want to know why? Because I don't care how calm, cool, and collected you are, there are just some days that need a little extra attention. Island living in them. Pampering, sunshine, massage, some extra attention for your hair, nails, and tanning. And then there is the red light therapy. A nap has just never felt so good. While your skin is saying, yeah. 3 locations to serve you. Lens North Plaza, Downtown Petoskey, and Fiji Salon and Spa Boyne City. Special occasions, weddings, parties, you need to be looking good and feeling good, too. Come to Fiji Salon and Spa. You'll not be disappointed, ever. Come on out, try them out. FijiSalonandSpa.com. For more information and to make your reservation, it's your time. It's showtime at FijiSalonandSpa.com.
This offer is void where prohibited. Resort selections and reservations are subject to availability. This ad is used for the purpose of soliciting the sale of timeshare interests.
Do you want to make a powerful improvement today for better living?
I have the answer. Take a vacation.
Diamond Resorts International is offering exciting, spacious resort destinations to everyone who qualifies. Stay for 4 days and 3 nights at the resort location of your choice for just $159. Not per night, but for the entire stay. Come to Orlando or Las Vegas. It's just $159 for the entire stay. So what are you waiting for? Get away today for just $159. And these aren't standard hotel rooms. They're luxurious suites. So call 1-877-427-9647. If you call right now, we'll give you a $100 Visa gift card if you qualify. That's right, a $100 Visa gift card and a well-deserved 4-day, 3-night getaway for just $159, which means your vacation is really just $59. Call 1-877-427-9647. Call for the time of your life and better living. Call now, 1-877-427-9647.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 866-761-0959. 1-866-761-0959. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately. Call this special tax hotline today for free info at 1-866-761-0959. That's 1-866-761-0959. 1-866-761-0959.
Welcome back to the Tim Nixon Show, Patriot Voice Radio Network. We are in northern Michigan, and Tani Carr is 10 Weeks to Love out in Southern California. What city in Southern California, Tani?
Well, I'm in a place called Shadow Hills, which is not technically a city. It's a very horsey area in an otherwise non-horsey county and city, or city rather. But we're in a place called Sunland, California, S-U-N-L-A-N-D, and Sun Valley, California, right in between those. But we have an amazing environment here with trails everywhere and mountains and streams and stuff. It's a really amazing community of horse people and other animal lovers, and I'm very blessed to be able to live here with my horses and other critters. You know, it's very, very convenient and very good.
Okay, so now we're finding out just a little bit more, just a smidge. You have horses.
Yes, I have two. Now, at one point, I'm very passionate about horses. One of the things that I was allowed to do with this marriage to my husband, Charlie, was that he was the first one to really make it possible for me to follow that passion, which is horses. Not long after we got married, we moved to the country. We were living in Utah. We had business there, and I was able to get my first horse. And I've had horses ever since because he's really made that possible. He's what we call a horse husband. That is defined as the man of the family that does not ride but financially supports his wife's passion and habit. So we currently have two horses, although we did have a ranch not very far away where I did holistic horse care and board, and that was great fun until I realized that I was losing more money than I was making, and, you know, you just can't do that for very long, no matter how much fun you're having, you know, mm-hmm. following a passion. So
we've had people from the spa that do the equine. I forget what they call it exactly.
They do massage or acupuncture or any of those things?
Well, this is equine therapy, where it's the person interacting with the horse, with a specific horse, for at least that day, sometimes a weekend, and just the different things, the relaxation, I don't know, I did it. I did it for one day, and there were things that I never expected of being able to communicate with this huge, beautiful horse that you've never seen before, and by the end of the day, it's almost like you're in sync, and it's really unique. I mean, it's amazing. So
it is truly an amazing experience, and I know people that have done that. Of course, I do that every day. I go out and commune with my horses. I spend time with them. I have relationships with my horses. I have relationships with my two cats and with my very large 125-pound dog. And relationships are relationships, whether it's between a person and an animal or person to person. There are some things that are common denominators. I have actually people that are reading my book and changing and improving their relationship, their career relationships. They're changing their careers. Excuse me, sorry, I've got a tickle in my throat here, which is kind of a nightmare for a person doing an interview. But I've had people go off and improve their personal relationships by working with animals, whether it was dogs or horses. So I'm tickled to death that you have that experience. It is wonderful. And I, even when I don't ride, I'll go out in the evening and just hang out. And the two horses come right up to me, and they'll put a head on my shoulder, come up and want to be scratched. You know, horses do this thing called mutual grooming. I don't know whether you observed it when you did your equine therapy day, but they will come up and be head to tail, and one horse will be scratching the side of one horse, and then they reverse that, and so here they are mutually scratching each other in places which I guess feels good. So when they do that, and I come up and I start to scratch them, it's not uncommon for one of my horses to very gently nuzzle me and scratch me on the shoulder, on my cheek. So, you know, there's always something to be gained from these experiences with our animals in terms of improving our relationships and our communications with other people.
Don't you think, though, that if you walk up to somebody in the mall and you just start scratching them standing in line, that it probably not, you're not going to get a mutual a mutual response?
No, not likely. Call the cops. It's more like you're stalking somebody, and we try not to go there, you know.
But I think, you know,
it does paint a funny picture, I must say.
It sure does. And but when you talk about, like, building relationships with your animals, and not unlike with people, it's based on if they respect you and you treat them nice and you respect them and give them shelter, give them what they need, but you also don't treat them, obviously you're treating them on a higher level than somebody that just, yeah, that's my dog over there. Yeah, I got to feed him three times a day. I got to let him out. You know, it sounds like you've actually built a communication. And, you know, I think people that are really good with animals do that. It's not just getting by, just doing whatever it takes to get through the day with them. It's actually enjoying them, and I think they pick up on that.
I think that they do, too. You know, I just read a beautiful story. I forget what rescue organization it was from, but the opening photograph was very distressing because it was a pit bull puppy that had was skin and bones, literally. I didn't see any meat on this puppy. And how this dog was brought back to life and how this dog dramatically changed the life of an autistic young man who could not interact with people and who didn't even interact with his own dogs until this dog was brought over, that the mom had seen this dog and the tragedy of it all, and they were looking for a home for this very special dog. And this woman said, I feel strongly that I need to bring this dog into my life. And when they brought the dog over just as a test, this young man, who had never shown any interest in their other animals, went right up to this dog, put his arms around her, and hugged her and kissed her. And this young man went from being extremely introverted and not being able to communicate with people, now walks down the street saying hello to everybody. I mean, this has dramatically changed the life of not only this young man, but of the parents. This is very difficult for parents to have an autistic child. There's just so much involved. So to see these parents having the bloom of life back in their cheeks, see this son doing well, all from this relationship that this young man had with this dog. And in my view, it's hard for me to deny that there's some special communication occurring that is a higher level than on the physical plane. You know, I use animal communicators, and that may not be real to people, but I do, and I've used them very successfully and referred other people to them, and I do animal acupuncture and chiropractic, and we do supplements, et cetera, et cetera. And I must tell you, when somebody can tell me things about my animal that only that animal and I know there's something to at least consider is possible. But it's not about one person, one body communicating with another body. To me, it's a much higher, a much more spiritual plane that this communication is occurring. And for me, personally, that's about you as a spiritual being. It's not about your flesh, you know, and at least that's the way that I view it, and I've been hugely successful when I've assumed that viewpoint, that there's a living being at the other end of that, whether it's an animal or person, and obviously, as it is with people, you get different levels of ability, different levels of communication with animals, too. It's not like I walk up to every dog I see and go, so, how you doing? I mean, it's not, I don't do those things. That looks weird, like going and scratching somebody in the mall. But but yeah. At the same time, I've been on the giving and receiving end of these amazing communications with my animals, and it's very real for me that such things exist, and I've been the happy recipient of the benefits of those relationships.
Mm-hmm. So you started your journey in Philadelphia, got to Southern California, began being a California girl, and has that just been all that you had ever hoped that would be? Well, you said you had some heartbreak. You had some stuff early on. But,
I did, very much so. I mean, I'm working on a book about my mother. My mother was an actress. Nobody knows her name. I mean, really, I'd like to say differently, but the truth is she worked, she was a showgirl, she was an actress, did B-movies and did small parts in television shows like The Red Skelton Show. She was a regular, but you wouldn't know her name. My mother was, I'll try to describe her here to best advantage, she was 5'9", which is pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
She had gorgeous red auburn hair, very fair skin, bright blue eyes, and she had a body that could stop traffic and was the sweetest person in the world, but very emotionally abused as a child. And so she had her demons, was married so many times that my brother and I cannot to this day agree on how many times and to whom, and have these ridiculous conversations about, well, she married so-and-so, right? Well, no, I think they only went steady. And then my brother would say, didn't you go to their wedding? Weren't you invited? And I'd say, I don't remember that wedding. I was not invited. I mean, completely ridiculous. Well, I'm writing a book about her, celebrating her joy, celebrating her love of life in spite of the tremendous emotional, and I think there was also physical abuse, called Mother Wore Pasties. Now, some of your listeners, if they're too young, will not know what pasties are, and let us just say that they were little micro mini bikinis for gals that did burlesque and striptease.
Mm-hmm.
And I have these amazing photographs of my mother in the 40s, 30s and 40s, with these plumes and pasties. And so I grew up kind of with a slant, not necessarily a good one, on what to anticipate in a personal relationship. I didn't live with my dad. I was raised by my mom. There were different men in the life, but I never felt like any of them were a father figure because they weren't around long enough. So I struggled with that, especially in light of the fact that standing next to my mom, I couldn't compete. I mean, you know, I grew up idolizing her, and then I hit puberty, and all of a sudden the boys are coming over, but clearly they wanted to see my mom and not me. And unfortunately, she rather enjoyed all the attention. So I know she didn't intend to hurt me. She was a very loving person, and I love her to this day. But the fact is that between her pill-taking and alcoholism and her own personal sadness, she encouraged the attention from fellas that I sure would like to have had liking me more than they did her. So it was tricky growing up with her. She died very much too young at 57 from the abuses of alcohol and prescription medications. So I had to contend with that. And then, as I say, with a rather jaundiced view of and very low expectations on what I should expect with my mother as my only example, really, I had some things that I had to work through. And so that's why I say to people, and I've written about this in the book, and I've explained these things somewhat in brief, but I've explained that, you know, it's not about what's happening externally. It's about what you do with what you're handed. And I hope that through the book and through my speaking and interviews, I can let people know that there is hope. No matter what has been done to you, no matter what abuse you've suffered, with probably very rare exceptions, there are things that you can embrace, that you can see, that you can view and make changes in that will allow you to bring into your life the person that you truly deserve and the person you would truly like to be there. The number one question that I get asked is, well, where do you go to find love? And I have to tell people, honestly, in my opinion, it's practically irrelevant. I could never have imagined meeting my husband the way I met him. Just never, because it never would have been in my radar. I mean, I needed somebody to help me lift a heavy chair into a borrowed truck for a garage sale, and I had met Charlie, and he was nice, and he worked for a very dear friend of mine. I said, hey, could you help me? And that was the beginning of our relationship, and after spending the day together, we discovered that we had all these common interests. I later found out, I'll give you a teaser here before your next break, that my husband had fallen in love with me the first time he saw me, and I was clueless.
Oh, okay, you got me. All right. We're going to come back with Tani Carr.
More later.
Yes. And we're going to take her. I mean, I just sat there glued and listening to stuff. Shut up. Let her go. She's got it. Okay. We'll be right back with Tani Carr. And yeah, I'm liking this on the Tim Nixon Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. His top military commander has left open the possibility, but President Obama says U.S. troops who will work to defeat the Islamic State group do not and will not have a combat mission in Iraq. One House Democrat calling it the best of a long list of bad options, a description of the president's plan to help Syrian rebels fight the Islamic State group comes as the House nears a vote on that proposal later today. If a grand jury does not indict the St. Louis area police officer who shot and killed Michael Brown, a prosecutor says he will immediately release transcripts and audio recordings of the grand jury's investigation. Federal Reserve has wrapped up its latest policy-setting meeting, signaling that it plans to keep a key interest rate at record lows.